So yeah, we are a speaker to meet in tonight, and it gives me a real pleasure to introduce our speaker this evening. He's in South Africa. He just recently kind of burst onto the virtual MA kind of meeting scene. He's doing an awful lot of really good work in his country to carry the message virtually to addicts around the country that he lives in. And he just celebrated a fairly biggish clean time milestone, so I'm hoping he might share a little bit about that. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Darren, who's going to share with us 40 to 45 minutes on his experience, strength and hope. So Darren, over to you. Please share with us. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Thanks, good evening, morning, afternoon, everybody. My name is Darren. I'm an addict. Can I just...
Hi, Darren.
Hi.
Audio, okay?
Darren.
Hello.
Yeah, how's it, Darren? Apologies for those of you who are about to hear this the second time. I can hear your eyes rolling from here. But I'll try and make it a little bit different if you've just heard it recently. Johan, I suppose linking into that introduction about the online, gratitude was something that I never had an abundance of in active addiction. And, you know, I often wonder about this awakening of the spirits and what does that really mean and has it really happened to me? But the feeling I get with regards to how much good the online community is doing in the country that I'm from, it really touches somewhere in my heart. And so I really just want to start off thanking every one of you and everybody that's helped us along the way as a region in South Africa and Africa. Is the messages I get from those addicts in isolated and rural communities. You know, we're a developing country, you know, in general, and a developing region. And so, addicts aren't able to find a Narcotics Anonymous footprint wherever they are. And the country's rather big with, large populations in the urban areas. And so there are many people, as a result of our history, that live in a forced kind of way, far away from the urban areas. And so this online platform has been a revelation in terms of trying to help us get the message to those addicts in isolated rural communities. And so the feeling's absolutely mutual in terms of, bursting into this online scene. And it's quite remarkable how that happens is how those planets collided in a region where we were desperately looking for a way to be able to get the message to people that we couldn't get to in a normal face-to-face setup for a number of reasons. And then secondly, we're a very, very poor country in terms of the most of population are significantly underprivileged and don't have the luxury of motor vehicles, money for petrol, and all kinds of things. We don't have a public transport system like first world countries. And so, this online platform has been an absolute miracle for us. And I want to just say that I'm grateful to all of you for all of the heavy lifting that's been done before, all of the people that were beginning this years and years ago. And it really is making a big difference in a lot of addicts' lives from where I am from. I'm also obviously grateful for another day clean, another year clean. As has been said, I just passed a milestone recently, and I owe it all to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I owe it all to the program that I was told to work by the older timers when I arrived. I had quite a tough baptism, for want of a better word, into a Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm grateful today that those old timers didn't take any of my bull dust, and they were able to impress upon me the importance of needing to do certain things. And they defined them, I don't think it's in our literature, and obviously everything I say that cannot be reconciled with our literature should be ignored. But they call these things the pillars, the five pillars. I've understood lately that they're the foundation or the base. And I've also heard in a share recently about a wagon wheel analogy. And basically what I was told that I needed to do, if I wanted to stand a chance, as well, was I needed to hit the meetings. And so if there's any newcomers on the call, is meetings, were what was required as one of the key ingredients of firstly kind of staying clean, losing the desire to use, and then also getting this new way of life. And so once again, what an amazing opportunity here, where in my day, it sounds like I'm old, the only option that I was aware of was face-to-face meetings, and we were required to do these things like 90 and 90. And so that's like for the first 3 months, a meeting a day, but there just weren't those kind of meetings available. And so, to try and get that habit going of hitting the meetings was a lot more difficult than it might be here with all of these online opportunities. And so meetings were drilled into me as the key pillar of my program, and I needed to get to as many meetings as I could at the beginning, and to make that a part of my everyday living. The next thing they said to me that I needed to do is to get a sponsor. And so, I am from one of the privileged upbringings, and I was, as a result of the hard slog of my parents, given a good education. And I say that as a disadvantage in Narcotics Anonymous. I've heard it shared before that you can't be too stupid for Narcotics Anonymous, but you can definitely be too clever for Narcotics Anonymous. And I suppose that was one of my biggest problems at the beginning, is I believed that I should place people with degrees, diplomas, PhDs, and all of these kinds of things on a pedestal as people that I should respect and look up to. And hitting NA, it took me a while to acclimatize that actually the people that I needed to be focusing on and listening to was anybody who had managed to put the gear down, anybody who had managed to not get loaded, and to realize that my problem wasn't all of these other things and having all of these views about other things. My problem was I just didn't know how to stay clean, and I needed to break that arrogance, break that sense of entitlement, and surrender to the fact that anybody around the room who's managed to stay clean, for a length of time, was somebody that I needed to learn from, and I needed to become teachable. And that wasn't very easy at the beginning, deep denial. Even in that mess of that unmanageable chaos of nothing else really going for me, I still had that inherent defect that I knew what to do, that I would be able to design my way out of this, that I've got this. And I'm grateful today that for whatever reason, whether it was a combination of like the desperation, not wanting to carry on using, there was just a small amount of open-mindedness, a small amount of desperation, a small amount of willingness, enough for me just to sit down and shut up and kind of listen to the older timers. And so, yeah, getting a sponsor was an important part of these cogs or these recipes that was drummed into me as the ingredients or the pillars or the base or the foundation of Narcotics Anonymous. And the next thing that they said to me that I needed to start to do is to try and be of use, to try and learn, how to break down the selfish, self-centered, self-obsessed component of the disease, and to do service. And it's quite an amazing thing about Narcotics Anonymous. No matter what a mess you've made of your real life, there's always somebody that's going to give you a little bit of responsibility. And even if it is like it was for me at the beginning, to be in charge of the kettle and to make a very dodge cup of coffee, I wasn't invited into the team. I felt welcome and felt a part of very quickly, and was kind of drummed into me that I needed to start to help the group, help the home group, be of use, be a meeter and a greeter, and just do something to start to feel a little bit better about myself, and to start to learn how to contribute, as a person that had been a taker most of my life. And then, a big thing for us, where we learned our recovery, was the steps and getting an understanding of the steps. And it was kind of encouraged that we could do this. You know, either way, we could work through the Narcotics Anonymous step working guide, you know, or you could choose a sponsor that would do it in a very different way, you know, talk you through it and give you an understanding. And I've had that privilege, you know, with two different sponsors to get an understanding of the steps both ways. And I'm very grateful for that and for an understanding of the steps. It's quite astonishing to me how long it took me to really understand why the steps were important. You know, at the beginning, I was just hanging on for dear life. I was just doing whatever I told. If I was told to do this, I did this 90 and 90, do this service. And I kind of just went along in very much like a robotic, desperate fear of going back to that dark corner of that dark room. And it really was an evolution of going through the steps a number of times that I had these kind of like mini awakenings along the way. And so it's been a kind of in waves for me. And each time, you know, I think that, oh, you know, I've got this, or I have this newfound understanding, something else comes along and I go, oh, sure, but, you know, I should have understood this a lot sooner. You know, what is wrong with me? And I, you know, and I was sharing this recently in a meeting, and there's this American guy close to where I stay, who comes to our home group, and he said that when you hear that loud noise at about 5 years to 8 years, it's your head coming out of your own backside or something to that effect. And so I thought then, okay, so, you know, maybe there are these moments along the way where there are these things that happen. And that's been my experience of the steps, and in particular the understanding of these spiritual principles, you know, these things that I'm particularly weak at, that I don't have an abundance of, and trying to understand these things and how to use them. And I suppose I'm just going to tell like a little story about how the steps and the principles have changed, you know, what I could only describe as the most important thing in my life, which is my little daughter. I've got well, she's not little anymore. My 15-year-old daughter, when she was 4 years old, I was hectically stuck in active addiction. And I was, you know, one of those Steven Spielberg movie script absent fathers, never around. You know, she would be waiting at the end of the garden, you know, with her little satchel or backpack ready for dad to come and fetch her. And I just wouldn't arrive. You know, when I did pick her up, I would be driving and kind of using while I'm driving, looking at her, you know, in the rearview mirror. You know, that kind of picture of that young child lying at the bottom of the on the floor in the places where I used to use, and all of those kind of things. And then mostly that father that just didn't want to pay maintenance and didn't want to take responsibility for being a biological father. And what proceeded to happen, obviously the divorce came, and then the ex-wife laid a charge against me for what's called a protection order, which means that if I'm not going to, you know, up my responsibilities, if I'm not going to be available for the visitations, and if I'm not going to do the right things, that I won't be able to have any contact with her or with my little daughter. And, you know, the night before that court case, a normal person would have like realized that that's quite a big event, you know, like no sense of the occasion is how I can describe myself in active addiction. And I went and I used, and like I think back now, like even now my hands are shaking, you know, as I say that, is that there's no indirect description of me making a choice between wanting to be a father and loving my daughter and using drugs, because I just chose to use on the most important evening where I needed to dress up, I needed to show up, I needed to put on my best suit, I needed to comb my hair, shave, and arrive, you know, and do the best I could to stay in my little daughter's life, and I couldn't. And that's kind of how I understand the process of powerlessness, you know, in step one. And so what promptly happened is that that protection order was given. And, you know, as a result of that inability to step up, and obviously unbeknownst to me at that time, is my little 4.5-year-old daughter was taken away from me, and I'd only get to see her, hear about her, know about how she's doing, hear anything to do with her 5 years later. And this was like, you know, a heartbreaking for me, you know, and I look back now and I understand it's very well deserved. But what like amazes me about this program is that even after I got clean and I was about 18 months into this program, I still believed I knew how to resolve that problem. You know, I still believe I had this, and I was lawyering up, sending threatening letters, and so just under 2 years clean, but still a complete muppet in the way that I'm thinking and the way that I'm behaving. You know, powerless over my thoughts, not loaded, no gear, but still unable to do life, unable to cope. And fortunately, I ended up with a sponsor, a guy from the UK. He was about 23 years clean, and the only way I can describe him is like one of these like rock and roll singers, you know, long hair, piercing blue eyes, and just like the most spiritual person that I'd ever come across. And, you know, in his explanation to me is I understand what the principle of the awakening of the spirit is, you know, that was my first little example of how these steps and these principles work. And he simply just told me to give up, you know, just to surrender, to stop trying to write fancy letters and trying to lawyer up and legalize the process. He said I should simply hand this over, you know, practice patience, practice forgiveness to get me out of the resentment to the ex-wife, and that I should be looking at it in a way that maybe I get to be a part of my daughter's children's life. You know, that kind of handing it over, you know, at step 2 and 3. And so I was encouraged just simply to surrender all of the madness and to kind of put myself at the mercy of, you know, I'd like to say of the magistrate, but it's more at the mercy of my higher power is the way I understand it today. And you know, it's quite amazing, you know, I tear up when I tell the story, is that a short while later, you know, I don't know, a couple of months later, where I was no longer acting out on self will, no longer fighting and struggling, you know, I got a phone call out of the blue from the ex-wife, you know, and the story, you know, kind of goes something to the effect that, do I want to be in my daughter's life again? Do I want to see my daughter again? And like completely amazed as to how this program does that. You know, how does that happen when I don't do anything, and when I stay out of the solution, when I hand it over, when I trust the process, trust my sponsor, trust the steps and the principles, and just stay the hell away, you know, something happens in the cosmos or whatever, and my little daughter, you know, was brought back into my life, and we just recently, at the beginning of December, we celebrated our 5 years back together, a kind of thing, and we make a bit of a fuss of that. And she comes to visit me, you know, 4 or 5 times a year. I'm allowed to take her on holidays. And we have a really, really good relationship. And so for me, you know, if I have to explain Narcotics Anonymous and what it does, well, the least it's done for me is to help me not use. That's kind of the entry level. It's helped me to not need to use any kind of mind or mood altering substances a day at a time over the last 7 years. It's also helped me to remove the compulsion to use. But what it's really delivered for me is all of the things that I butchered in active addiction. It's brought those back 20-fold. And that's because of these principles, you know, underlying the steps. And I'd love to share that they come naturally to me, but they don't. I need a sponsor to kind of beat them into me, to tell me, no, you mustn't do it that way. You mustn't do it. In my mind, it's logical to do things in a certain way that doesn't involve spiritual principles. You know, I want to rely on people principles and rely on man-made institutions, whereas this program I'm learning has nothing to do with any of those things. And so that's been an amazing a story for me. And you know, the other thing as well is obviously I needed to learn that. I needed to understand that just because I stopped using, you know, in month 1, doesn't mean my higher power is going to bring everything back to me because suddenly Darren's decided not to use. You know, the whole world must now, you know, trumpets blaring and flyers, you know, streamers and all of that. Is it needed to come at the time when I was ready to take on those responsibilities, when I was paying my maintenance, when I was responsible. So that's just one of the stories I wanted to share tonight. You know, the other one is about this compulsion to use. And it's also like an explanation for me as to how powerful this program is, but it's a story in relation to the drugs themselves. And so, you know, as a drug user, I was one of these guys, and I say this with no junkie pride, you know, that just didn't have an ability to call it a night. You know, I would use, and all of my buddies would call it a night. They'd go home, they'd have, you know, important family events, or they'd have work the next day, and they'd be able to wrap it up, you know, 12 o'clock or whatever. And I was, you know, perpetually that person that hung around afterwards, got into like more drama, carried on using. And so I was never able to manage the amounts. You know, once I was off and going, I wasn't able to call it a night. And then I also remember trying to limit the occasions as well. And, you know, it was going to be the funerals, the weddings, the sport events, and those kind of things. And equally wasn't able to do that. And so I really had a problem with regards to powerlessness in regards to the drugs themselves. You know, thinking and behavior around Amy Lee, yeah. But also, you know, the substances themselves, I didn't have any hope in trying to have any balance, you know, any sense of occasion when it came to them. And, you know, I came to Narcotics Anonymous, and I think at about 60 days, so after doing, you know, maybe 60 meetings, after doing a very rushed version of the steps, you know, having worked with a sponsor, you know, and having, a very, very basic understanding of the steps and the principles and this concept of a higher power, you know, I got a job in a hospital. It's a pediatric leukemia hospital, and I was, you know, sponsor said I could take the job. And I went to work in this hospital, and it was a hospital that was launching, and inside the hospital they had their own like in-house pharmacy. And towards the end of my using, and I know that we don't like to mention drugs by name, but it would defeat the objective of the story, you know, I got hooked on benzodiazepines, and so like sleeping pills became quite a big issue to help me get off the bus, but also to anesthetize myself for the stress of the crisis that I knew was coming. And with this hospital and with this kind of in-house pharmacy, all of those drugs that I was, you know, 65 days, 70 days before, I would have done anything for those damn pills. You know, I would have, you know, I was kind of behaving very badly just to get my hands on those things. Is here were these like boxes and boxes and boxes of these pills. And what I'm trying to say is that even with a very mediocre version of Narcotics Anonymous, for some reason, the desire and the compulsion to use and to take those and to put them in my boot and to go away and use had been lifted already. And, you know, I think back to that, and that amazes me that in such a short space of time and with a really mediocre understanding of it, that I never took that temptation and never, you know, succumbed to those drugs that beforehand were everything to me. And, you know, I look back and I wonder about that. It has to be a miracle of Narcotics Anonymous that was able to do that, because I can't explain the two different kinds of people. And then it's been like that, you know, year after year as well, that compulsion to use, that desire to go back to that dark place has been lifted. And I'm so grateful for that. I can't explain, you know, that when I pray and when I meditate, I continue to pray that thought process of what it was like during that last binge, that it never fades, that I never lose sight of the complete mess that my life was in. And that if anything, you know, my memory, I can forget about many, many things, but I don't want to forget about that last use, that last innings, because it's such a mess, and it helps me to recognize that I can't use successfully. And so, yeah, you know, I'm grateful to understand that there are things that I need to do, that these things that the old timers encourage me to do, you know, meeting, sponsor, service, the steps and the principles, and have a higher power. You know, people are entitled to a higher power of their own choice. For me, it's a combination of everything that Narcotics Anonymous brings. You know, I find the logo sexy. I find the literature inspiring. And so, and I can't explain that. I can't explain how a jaded, arrogant, opinionated know-it-all suddenly falls in love, you know, with the Narcotics Anonymous logo and the people in NA. And I'm passionate about Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I owe everything to Narcotics Anonymous. And then, yeah, lastly, in terms of like some of the exciting things, you know, and so as I start to get a little bit complacent, start to like lose my vigilance, maybe start to find some of the normal things that I've had to do over the years a little bit boring. You know, what happens? My planets collide with all of you people on the online platform, you know, crazier than the face-to-face people by miles. And suddenly there's this whole new world of recovery that's exciting, you know, that's interesting and brand new. And so I'm like a kid in a candy store again, you know, learning about all these things that I know nothing about, you know, getting involved with trying to understand the Zooms and the blue jeans and all of these things. And, you know, how amazing is that? Is that it, that, you know, it keeps getting refreshed. Every time I think that this is it, that this is as good as it gets, or that this is everything about NA, suddenly there's a whole new chapter of excitement that presents itself. You know, service opportunities as well continually present themselves to me, and I'm enthusiastic about those. Yeah, and so I'm just going to finish off now. You know, I can carry on telling you more stories. I've told you a story about Amy Lee, my little daughter, you know, and about drugs themselves. But like money as well, you know, very much came through the school of life where money is everything. Career, ambition, and material success defines a person. And went down that road and was bitterly unhappy, you know, even you know, through privileged upbringing, I was able to get some of those material trinkets, you know, the bells and the whistles and stuff, but miserable, you know, so miserable that I needed to use, you know, to cope with all of the chaos and the stress that come with those things. And I'm so grateful for that, to have been freed from the, I don't know how to, like from the jail of having to place those kinds of things on a pedestal, you know, no longer living in that morbid fear about the future and will I have enough, you know, am I going to be okay? Will I be taken care of? You know, I know that within Narcotics Anonymous that I'm going to be okay. You know, if I have faith in my higher power, if I can come to believe that the insanity is over, if I can make a decision, and if I can just build strong personal relationships with the people that I interface with and with my higher power, you know, everything is going to be okay. And I believe that today. You know, I don't just say that, is I really believe that Narcotics Anonymous has got my back, and that if I keep doing what I'm doing, I'm not going to have the need to use, the desire is not going to come back, and I'm going to be able to continue to enjoy the life I have today. And it's abundant. It's abundant in different ways. It's not abundant in the ways that I would have thought would be defined as success, but it's abundant in the world of principle, in me being a lot nicer person, in me being able to be relied upon by my daughter and a little bit by my ex-wife. It's me not fighting with everyone in and out of court, you know, even on the WhatsApp groups and on the Facebook pages. You know, I don't know if I can call that an awakening of the spirit, but I don't have to get stuck into all of the chaos and the fighting and the arguing that goes on the social media, you know, I can step back and I don't have to throw a few jabs like I would have before. I can stay out of the chaos a little bit, all thanks to Narcotics Anonymous. So I'm going to finish off there. I just once again want to thank you all for listening, and I want to say to any newcomers out there, you know, I tried a lot of things, as I've shared, you know, I try to do it myself with all manner of control this, special occasions. I'll try this drug and not that drug. I try to live my life as well. I try to think that my own decision making, my own moral and ethical compass, can help me even without the gear. And none of that really worked. You know, I ended up in and out of jails, as the readings suggest, in and out of psych wards, chaos in my personal relationships, with family, with co-workers, you know, with friends, and really just didn't have the ability to navigate life on my own. And, you know, all of the things that I tried to help me, you know, get going with this thing called life, none of those were sufficient. None of those worked for me. The only time I've really got some contentment, you know, some feeling of being okay, has been as a result of walking through the doors of NA. And so, you know, I really am grateful that Narcotics Anonymous did much more than just help me to stop use. It really has presented me with an opportunity to kind of live a content life. I'm not going to share that I'm happy and I'm skipping down the beach and everything's roses, you know, life still happens. But I really know that if I carry on doing the things that I'm required to do, that I'm going to be okay. My name's Darren, I'm an addict. Thanks for listening.